much for being here tonight. And for those of you that are with us online, are we running good online right now? All right, so. Well, we'll make it through. Hopefully you'll be able to stick with us and be able to watch it as well. But we're in a new series, just started last week, called Parenting, Am I Doing This Right? And so for those of you that this is your first time here tonight, if I look at you, don't freak out, okay, Steve? So don't freak out if I'm looking right at you there. But we're talking about working through parenting, but you know one of the things that I've discovered when you do a parenting series, that you can apply anything that you hear, anything from the Word of God that you can apply to your life. And so we're going to talk through a couple things tonight, specifically about the toddler time period. So if you've got toddlers, man, this may be the time for you to just hit record and just zoom it all in. If you don't have toddlers, or your kids are grown and gone, or you don't have kids at all, that's okay, because we're going to be talking about the end result of what we want to see our kids be, and that's how we can measure our life against those things. And so we're going to work through those things. But I want to begin with a quote by a guy named Dr. James Dobson. If you're familiar with him, you know that he is like an eminent psychologist, but he's a Christian psychologist, and his big thing is kids and what they think about stuff and how they process, and he writes this in one of his books, and I think it's really appropriate. If you either have toddlers or remember having toddlers, he writes this: one day you wake up, and somebody has switched out your tiny, compliant infant for a much larger, louder, and opinionated toddler. And now you realize that the sleepless nights and the numerous feedings were a walk in the park compared to what's coming next. You wonder to yourself, who is this bossy little person launching a one-toddler revolution for independence while leaping dangerously large structures and gulping down fistfuls of cookies faster than the Cookie Monster himself? And then he goes on to say this: a toddler is the most hard-nosed opponent of law and order. And he honestly believes that the universe revolves around him. In his cute little way, he is curious and charming and funny and lovable and exciting and selfish and demanding and rebellious and destructive. But don't fail to establish yourself as the boss during this period, because all of the years to come will be influenced by the relationship that you build during this 18-month period. Window. So no pressure as you think about that. But yeah, let me just share with you this verse found in the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 18. It says this: discipline your children while there is hope. Let's just pause there, because when I read this, I crack up every time, because it's like, well, there's hope. Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. Discipline your kids while there's hope. Now I want to be real clear, because we see that word discipline, and immediately our mind comes to a picture, a conjure of what we think discipline is. But it's really important to recognize that discipline and punishment are two different things. The better way to really understand this, when the Bible uses this term discipline, is really the word train or training. And so really, if you read this, right, this goes, hey, listen, train your children while there is still hope. In other words, when your children are small and pliable, their brains are still, you know, full of mush, you can kind of train them what it means to be a grown-up. And that's the idea. He's saying, listen, train them when there's hope. And then he says this: otherwise, you will ruin their lives. So, all right, thank you, sir, because I'm already scratchy. So I love this, that the writer of Proverbs is Solomon. And if you don't think the Bible has a little bit of a humor in it, even if it's a little tongue-in-cheek, this is pretty potent. It's like, discipline while there's hope. Otherwise, you're going to screw up their entire life. So again, no pressure. But sorry, I got a drink, and you guys don't have paper to write stuff down anymore. So here is the big idea for tonight, okay? It's really simple. Clear boundaries create confident kids. Clear boundaries create confident kids. So discipline, or the art of discipline, is about creating boundaries for your kids, to tell them this far is okay, but when you step over that line, then discipline turns from discipline to punishment. Right? You step over that line, and then you know, the proverbial hammer, right? It's coming, because you stepped over that line. And so there's clear boundaries. And here's what's amazing. People don't realize, especially when you've got little kids and they do something naughty, but then they give you that look that's so cute and sweet. And so you really kind of don't want to, you're like, oh, it's so, and you don't want to laugh, but then you have, you know, it's that point. But here's the thing. If you can create those clear boundaries, what it does is it creates creates a fence for within which your toddler and your child can grow up and be who they are and be confident without fear of those things. And so those boundaries actually create a freedom in your child to be who they are. So if you really love your child and you really want them to be all that God's called them to be, you've got to create clear boundaries so that they can be who God has called them to be and be able to grow up and do that. Now, there's a billion different ways. There's all sorts of ideas and techniques and books, and quite frankly, it can be overwhelming when you think about the idea of discipline. My two daughters were sitting on the porch, actually it was this last week, and they came across a video that they'd seen before, and they shared it with us, and we sat on the porch just laughing. It's longer. If you want to look it up, you can. But I want to share this with you because it's a woman from India. She married a guy from Sweden, and so their whole parenting thing is really like kind of twisted and messed up, and I just want to show you just a two-minute clip because quite frankly, sometimes this is kind of how we feel about how in the world we're supposed to be parenting. So we'll go ahead and watch this.
Small kids are very easy, I find. The biggest downside of having a very small child is they are very boring. Yeah, they want to show you they love you by talking to you all the time, but everything they know, you already know. I mean, literally zero value add in any of those conversations. But you do it anyway because they're your kids, you know? And you know what people say? Small kids, small problems. Big kids, bigger problems. And the reason is that as your kids get older, you have to discipline them properly. And I find this very stressful because I'm born and raised in India. So what I consider robust, healthy, high-quality parental discipline is frowned upon in this part of the world. That's not true. It's illegal. I know because I have checked. And I want to have really well-behaved kids, but that is no use to me if I am in jail. So, I have to learn what you guys do here. And the big thing here is teach your kids about action and consequence using a multitude of techniques. So you have something called star chart. You know what star chart is? Yeah, no, let me tell you, sir. Star chart is you find something vaguely not negative that your child possibly might be able to do and then work it into the conversation and give them a star. Thank you for not kicking me in the face today. Here's a star. And then the other one, action and consequence, naughty step. You've been terribly behaved. Kindly go relax on the staircase.
There's a lot of different ways, right, that people struggle with how to discipline. So tonight what I wanted to do, instead of giving you a whole bunch of specific things, I really wanted to focus on the end result, right? The end result, the things that really as a parent, you want to mold your kid to be able to overcome these things as they get older. And so we're going to go after the power four today. And the power four are tantrums, lying, ignoring, and whining. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what age you are. If you've not learned how to handle these things, guess what? They're still a part of your life. If you have ever seen an adult throw a tantrum, it is something to watch. Don't point because there's not a lot of people here, so we would all know. But, you know, then there's lying, and then there's all the things that we talk about with ignoring or disrespecting people and whining. And so really the reality is that these things can apply to our life even if we're grown-ups, right? We're not in the toddler stage. We're past it. So let's walk through these things. So the first one is tackle their tantrums. And I'm going to alliterate these with the T and the T, so we'll just get used to it. So tackle their tantrums. So Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says this. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Now, I thought about just sharing with you a whole bunch of YouTube videos about kids losing their mind, but I thought, no, we've all been there. We know that what that's like, right? And you can just see, I mean, the kid just loses their mind. And really, this is the perfect definition of this verse, right? Fools give full vent to their rage. They just lose it. But honestly, as adults, some adults do that too. They have no ability to control themselves, and the reason is because they never learned that. They were never forced to do that. And so if you're in that position, you need to teach yourself how to do this. But then the last part says, but the wise bring calm in the end. Have you ever seen a really good parenting, whether you saw it in person or you like stumbled upon it yourself? Because quite frankly, that's how usually you get to be a good parent, is you stumble across things and you try it. You're like, hey, that worked. Let's do that again. And you know, your kid's losing your mind or whatever, and you're able to insert yourself into the conversation and it calms everything down. So that's the difference between if someone has learned how to handle themselves and their rage or their anger and someone who hasn't. If you step into a conversation that's already big and you're able to calm it down, that means you've learned how to do that. And so just think about that for yourself. So here's a couple things. So last week we talked about wisdom, and it's the application of knowledge tempered by experience. So the first thing you need to do when your kid has lost it is see if you can figure out why they're pitching a fit. Like literally try to figure out what was the trigger, what happened. Because let's be honest, sometimes the reason that they pitched a fit are things that we did. Positions or places that we put them in. For example, we let them stay up way too late the night before watching a movie, and then the next day we can't understand why they won't behave or they're losing their minds. You know, maybe it was something that we did. Maybe it's because they're exhausted. You've run around all day or you've agitated them to death. Then the tantrum is a tool that they're using to test your resolve. They're literally using their tantrum to see. Now, don't be like, really, my child thinks like this? No, they were born with that. And you go, how do you know? Because the Bible says that every person is born with a sin nature. That's how we know. They were born with this thing, and they literally use that to test and see how you're going to respond. And they're prodding to see and find the weak points where they can attack you next time. And so if your resolve is not the way that it needs to be, if you're not able to handle and process through that, then guess what? The tantrums are just going to continue to roll and get worse. If, however, you can be the voice of reason, you can process through and figure out why without coddling and without, you know, giving them like, I want ice cream. Maybe they really, I mean, honestly, who doesn't always want ice cream? But really, I mean, if you really figure out what that is, then you can be able to process through it and be that voice of calm. So tantrums. A fool gives full vent to their rage, but the wise man brings calm in the end. So second one is not just tackle their tantrums, but limit their lying. Limit their lying. To be quite honest with you, sometimes we set our kids up. We just do. We literally set our kids up to fail. And I'll give you a perfect example like this. Your toddler is sitting in the room doing something, and you leave them for 3 seconds, and you come back into the room after literally 3 seconds, or maybe you went to the bathroom and you came back, and the room is completely destroyed. There, you know, you have no dog, you have no other kids, the room is completely destroyed, and your first response is, did you do this? Now, think about that. You've just set your kid up, right? Like, did you do this? Now, you're looking at them, you're like 5 foot tall, but they think you're 12 foot tall, and you literally say to them, did you do this? And they're like thinking in their mind, if I say yes, then I'm really going to get in trouble. So you've set your kid up to lie. But the reality is we as parents, we as adults need to realize that we need to actually understand a very important equation, and here's the equation. It's very simple. Seclusion plus quietness plus toddler equals evil. That is just the bottom line. And so the reality is when we're processing through this, we have a child, we understand this. If we leave them by themselves and they do something, then it's not so much them that really needs to maybe rearrange some things, maybe we do. Now, let's be honest, though, toddlers can do evil things. So instead of walking in the room and asking, did you do this, when you know that they did it, instead say, I know that you did this, right? And see, again, you're giving them the opportunity to be honest. That's a little different than, you know, nobody did it. I'm amazed, my oldest daughter's here, but I'm amazed when they moved out of the house how many things nobody stopped doing. It was amazing that things just stopped happening in our house and dishes got put where they were supposed to. It was an amazing thing. But you go, why is this so important? I mean, it's kind of cute. We see these things. But here's the thing. As they get older, it gets less and less cute. And it actually becomes incredibly destructive in their life. And if you know an adult that constantly lies when things happen, you know how destructive it is. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 also lays really the most important thing. It says, the Lord detests lying lips. It's not that God doesn't like it. It detests him. When we don't speak the truth, it grates against the character of God. Now, conversely, it says this. It says, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. And see, sometimes, especially even as grown-ups, we tend to not realize the comparison between lying and untrustworthiness. Because if you lie, no one can trust you. And so it's a bigger than just a little white lie. It's a matter of your character. It's a matter of trust to be able to do that. So we need to tackle their tantrums. We need to limit their lying. And we need to intervene in their ignoring. Intervene in their ignoring. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long and not be crushed by them in the house. It doesn't say that there, but you get the picture. So that you may live long in the land that your God is giving you. This verse, we really need to allow this verse to, in our parenting, really take hold. Because it's bigger than obey. I mean, God says that. God says, obey your mother and father, you know. Listen to your father and mother. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. And we understand there's an obedience factor to it. But this is more than obedience. God says we are to honor our parents. We're to honor them. The best definition of honor I ever heard, and this was really cool, is that, you know, when somebody walks into a room and you honor them, they walk into a room and you go, that's the response. Now, if you want to do that to your kids and stuff, that's fun. But it's real. That's the reaction that you're supposed to have. And so especially toddlers can be very mouthy. It's like toddlers and teens, whatever starts with T, they can be really mouthy. And so as moms and dads, as parents, if your child is mouthy to your spouse, you need to step in and go, that is not okay. You cannot talk to her, talk to him that way. That's not okay. Because here's the thing, and this is what we don't understand. How your child treats you is how they're going to treat every authority in their life moving forward. Because every authority in their life, they're going to compare back to how they related to the authority that they first had, the first authority in their life, which is you. And so as you understand that and you realize that, you have to understand this is such an important thing to honor your mom and your dad. And whether you have children now and you're working on that, or maybe your kids are out of the house and maybe your relationship now with your parents and you're trying to figure that out and how you're to honor them and they're irritating you or whatever and you're processing through that, the reality is that your mom and dad will always be your mom and dad. And you should always give them honor in doing that. And so it's a two-person job, the two of you working together and being able to do that, not doing that. And by the way, that can be as you grow up, when someone's having a conversation with you, just to give you, you know, most of you I'm sure know this, but when someone's talking to you, you shouldn't be on your phone doing things on the phone and figuring things out. You should actually be looking at it. That's a way to honor that other person, right? When somebody's talking and you're in a group of three or four, you shouldn't start a cross conversation with somebody else over here and try to, that's a way of honor, showing respect and doing those things. So we need to tackle their tantrums, limit their lying. We need to intervene in their ignoring. And the last one is this, we need to wipe out their whining. Wipe out their whining. I'm sure you have, but an adult that whines, wow, right? Don't you just want to punch him in the face? I mean, you know, in Jesus' name and in a Christian way, but you just, it's like, okay, come on, you know, suck it up, you know, take a deep breath, work through this, don't whine. And when you have children, it's really important, again, we'll go back to what we did with tantrums, it's very similar. We have to look at it, try to figure out why, make sure it's not something that we have caused by something that we've done, we've run them around all day and they're super tired or whatever, make sure we're working through those things. But the key thing that we need to have our ears open for is we need to have some key phrases, right? And things like this, it's not fair. If you hear that phrase, I'm just going to tell you as a parent, jump on that like a cat on a mouse or a dog on peanut butter. Just jump on that because that phrase, if you allow that to stick with them through their life, you're going to set them up for a struggle because guess what? Life isn't fair. And to be quite honest with you, when you understand the idea of what fair really is, you have to realize that you don't want life to be fair. Because sometimes things happen in life that are good to you, but it's not fair. You didn't deserve that, but God gave it to you anyways. It's called grace and mercy. And so we don't want life to necessarily be fair, but we want to live in God's grace. And so using that phrase, it's not fair, is one. I can't, that's another one. I can't, right? And you know, don't let go. It's too hard, I'm tired. All these whining phrases that, boy, they should be red flags that immediately go up that you go, this is a whining moment. I need to work on this. Now look what it says there, Philippians chapter 2, Verses 14 and 15, God actually addresses this specifically. And unfortunately, he's talking to a grown-up group of people that go to church together in Philippians chapter 2. And he says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. You know, as you grow up and as you're an adult, maybe you're working with your kids or maybe you're looking at yourself or maybe you're trying to work with other people. If you have people in your life that everything they complain about, it's really difficult to work with those people. It's really difficult because you got to find a way to be encouraging but not discouraging. You got to find a way to draw them up without letting them draw you down, because a complaining voice is really easy. It can overwhelm the room really quickly. And so that's one of the things that we talk about with the staff is like always try to, not complaining, but focusing on what the good things are, focusing on what God has for us, moving forward, doing those things, because it's really important to do that. And so not complaining or arguing so that no one can criticize you. And then I love this. He says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. One of the things we told our girls as they're growing up and we're watching their friends and that type of thing, and we realized that, you know, honestly, in our day and age, and with what we kind of see with everything that's going on, it's not hard to shine or to stand out. It's kind of sad to say that, but it's not hard. If you, like, show up on time, it's like, oh, my word, you showed up on time. And, you know, just simple stuff like that. That if you just do what you're supposed to do. But here's the bigger picture. I love what it says. It says we're going to live clean and innocent lives as children of God. You see, here's the bigger picture of all of this, whether it's you're dealing with kids, you're dealing with yourself, or you're working with somebody else. The Bible says if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. And when you go out in the workplace, when you go out in the world, when you do what you're supposed to be doing, you are carrying the name of God with you. You ever seen a kid that you knew their mom and dad, and you saw them doing something that they weren't supposed to do, and you thought, wow, I can't believe so-and-so would let their kid do that. You see, when we don't do what we're supposed to do, that literally reflects on our Father God. And so the writer here, Paul, says, listen, everything you do it without complaining, do it without arguing, so no one can criticize you because you are bearing the very name of God. And so whether it's tantrums, whether it's lying, whether it's ignoring and not showing the proper respect, or whether it's whining and not working through the problems without that whine, the reality is that our lives reflect the character of God, or at least they should reflect the character of God and how we live. And our children, we want them to reflect that as well. Last verse we're going to read for you is the verse that we started with. And my hope is that as we've kind of walked through all of this, that it'll take on a little bit different perspective and a little bit different meaning in Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your children. Train your children while there is hope. Because the reality is, if they're still breath, if they're still alive, then there's still hope. You're like, well, they're not toddlers anymore. That's okay. That's okay. You're still their mom. You're still their dad. There's still hope. And the thing is, if we ignore it, though, we're literally setting them up to have a life, as he says, or otherwise, we end up ruining their lives. So jump into it. It's hard. It's not easy. And let's be honest, parenting, sometimes it is a very thankless job. And nobody ever says thank you. I other than one time when I was disciplining Georgia, I never got a thank you when they were disciplined. Never they go, wow, oh, thanks so much. I mean, that just doesn't happen, right? It just doesn't happen. The joy of parenting is as you watch your children, as you grow them up, you get to the point where they become adults and you can kind of let go and let them go, and you go, wow, that's where the joy comes in. And that's what we focus on, the long term, not the short term, because we always want to believe that there is hope. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for loving on us. We thank you for allowing us to be your children. Father, I pray that whether we have toddlers, whether we are toddlers sometimes ourselves, I pray that you would challenge us to focus on these four areas in our lives, whether it be focusing on it with our children or focusing on it, the person that we're looking at in the mirror. I pray that we would understand, God, that the idea of those tantrums, kind of losing our cool, not speaking the truth, not having the respect for one another or each other that we should have, and God kind of allowing that wine to kind of be inserted in our daily conversation. But God, let us live, as Paul put it, let us live clean lives so that we can live and have no one criticize what we do because we are representations of the character of our Father God. Father, for those that are parents that are struggling right now, maybe because of all this stuff, man, they're trying to figure out, what's it like right now? How am I supposed to parent through this? I pray that tonight would have been an encouragement to them. Some little things that they can grab onto, maybe some hope to be able to look forward to, but God, to be able to love on, encourage, and grow their child up in the truth of the Word of God. We thank you so much for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and receive.